Early one spring morning, many, many years ago, a strange, miraculous thing happened that has given hope to millions. Christ arose from the dead. That Christ arose from the dead is a fact, one that has influenced men's lives as no other in history. What happened that first Easter morn is as sharp and vivid today as it was to those who stood by the empty tomb. She who first discovered the empty grave and beheld the risen Christ was Mary of Magdala. This is her story, brought to you now on the Hour of St. Francis with Miss Loretta Young as Mary Magdalene.
I can never forget how dark and silent that morning was. I could hear the pounding of my own heart as I crept out into the darkness and hurried along the dim and lonely streets of the city that was still asleep. It was a brooding silence that hung over Jerusalem, like the stillness that follows in the wake of a death-dealing storm. It was as depressing as the quiet of death, as overwhelming as the lifeless stillness of the grave. Suddenly, I remembered some terrible words.
Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou hast killed the prophets and stoned those that were sent to thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen gathers her young under her wings, but thou wouldst not. Behold, thy house shall be left to thee desolate.
I had known him only a little while when I heard him speak those words, yet already I loved him with a love strong as death. He had let me, Mary of Magdala, touch him. He had known, and he had not cared what the Pharisees were thinking.
This man, if he were a prophet, would surely know who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, that she is a sinner, a woman of the streets.
Simon, I have something to say to thee.
Master, say it.
A certain man had two debtors. The one owed him 500 pence, the other 50. And whereas they had not wherewith to pay, he forgave them both. Which, therefore, of the two loveth him most?
Well, the one, I suppose, to whom he forgave the most.
Thou hast answered rightly, Simon. Dost thou see this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she with tears hath washed my feet, and with her hair hath dried them. Thou gavest me no kiss. But she, since she came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but she with ointment hath anointed my feet. Wherefore I say to thee, her many sins are forgiven her, because she hath loved much.
For the first time I dared look into his eyes. Those clear, tender, forgiving eyes. And in that instant that embraced a lifetime, the whole world was changed for me. And I knew I could never be the same again. Nothing I'd ever seen was like the look in those eyes. And now, they were closed in death. And my own were filled with blinding tears. I stumbled along the narrow path into the garden to the place where we had gently laid his bruised and bloodless body. In my hands, I carried a little box of precious ointment. It was only half full, but I had treasured it for 9 days. It had been filled with priceless perfume the first time I had used it. 6 days before the Passover, my Lord had come to visit and have supper with us. Martha, my sister, Lazarus, my brother, whom he had recalled from the dead, and me. For the second time, I had anointed that sacred form. I had thrown myself down at his feet. He let me kiss him. He knew what I was trying to say. He was my Lord and my all. I was his servant, whose soul he had raised from the death of sin. But a voice had been raised in disapproval. A voice no man would ever again hear.
Why was this ointment not sold for 300 pence or more and given to the poor?
In the silence that fell after Judas spoke, I could feel the disapproval of all sweep over me like a chilling wave. I had intended no waste, only honor. Love like that which filled my heart did not count the cost. I knew not what answer to give to Judas, who was ready to sell everything for 30 miserable pieces of silver. But I did not have to speak.
Let her be, that she may keep it for the day of my burial. The poor you have always with you, but you will not always have me.
You will not always have me. Only 6 days after he spoke those words, I knelt by his feet on Golgotha, the place of the skull. When no kiss of mine could soothe their agony, nor my embrace warm those sacred feet chilled in death. As I drew near the place where we had laid him, eagerness seemed to lend wings to my feet. My thoughts turned to the great stone that had been used to seal the tomb, and to the guard of Roman soldiers who'd been stationed around it. Who would roll back that stone? Would the guards let anyone touch it? But there were no soldiers, and the stone had been rolled back. A leaden fear tugged at my heart. Was I too late? Though the sun had not yet risen, had someone been here before me? Had the tomb been desecrated? Had someone stolen the body? I entered the tomb. The body was gone. There to one side was the winding sheet in which we had hastily wrapped him. And here, on the stone, was the headcloth, neatly folded. And then suddenly I heard a voice. And through my tears I saw a figure so dazzling bright I could hardly look.
You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter.
And Peter? Big, kindly, blundering Peter, who had denied him only the day before yesterday? Shall this news be told first, and especially to Peter? Why not Mary, his sinless mother? Or faithful John, whom the Master loved, and who had stood bravely with Christ beneath his cross? Tell Peter. Poor, stumbling Peter. Peter the denier, the sinner. Oh, I could see him sitting broken-hearted behind locked doors with the other apostles, turning aside now and again to brush away tears. Tears of repentance and regret that coursed down his weathered cheeks. I knew he could still hear himself saying, I know not the man. I knew that the great loving heart of the inconstant old fisherman was torn with anguish. Tell Peter, he is risen, he is not here. I had heard the words, and I repeated them every step of the way. But somehow, I could not grasp their meaning. Peter! 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 Simon, Peter!
Mary!
Oh, Peter, come quickly.
What is it, Mary?
Peter, come quickly. The Lord is risen. Peter, with John in the lead, ran hastily from the house down the narrow, still deserted streets toward the city gate. I started after them, still unable to grasp the meaning of all that had happened in so short a time. All I knew was the grave was empty. The body was gone. Was I never to see my Lord again?
Woman!
Yes, soldier?
Woman, whither goest thou at this early hour?
Why, to the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea.
To the place where they buried Jesus of Nazareth?
I would anoint the body for burial.
Woman, thou wilt not find the body.
Not find it?
Hast thou not heard? While the soldiers were sleeping, fishermen came in the night and stole the body.
But the guards, soldiers of Imperial Rome, surely they would not sleep on their watch.
Woman, all I know is what I'm told. And I would counsel thee not to speak or think otherwise.
So this was the plan. whereby the leaders of the people hoped that false teachers would bring forth good fruit. Silver had been the price of betrayal, and gold now was to seal forever the lips of truth. When I finally reached the garden, still so calm and quiet in the early morning light, Peter and John had already left and returned to the city. I knew that even then conflicting rumors were being whispered through the city, just as the sun of a new day began to lift itself above the hill of Calvary. And as I knelt by the open grave, my thoughts were in turmoil. My heart was torn between grief and I know not what. My eyes were dim with tears. Oh, where was he whom I loved? Whom I was seeking and whom I longed for with every fiber in my being.
Woman, why weepest thou?
Oh, because they've taken away my Lord. And I don't know where they've laid him.
Is this why thou weepest?
Gardener, if thou hast taken him hence, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away.
Mary.
I have only to close my eyes and see him again. As he stood there by the tomb and looked down at me, I had seen him die, and now he lived. The eternal hope of all who ever faltered along the path to God. It is all as clear and as sharp in my mind as though it took place only yesterday. He has risen. He is not here. Go, tell Peter. Peter, who had risen to walk with him forever in the newness of life. He has risen. He lives forever. My Lord and my God. And his mercy abides forever. It was the dawn of a new day for Peter. And for me, Mary of Magdala. And for every sinner. For millions. This was a new day of hope.
Christ lived and died for us. He rose from the dead to prove to us that his life was truth and his death triumph. He has risen to give new hope to every man who has suffered the death of sin. Any dawn can bring the Easter of our soul. We have only to cry for pardon and God will roll away the stone of sin. Like Peter, like Mary of Magdala, we may spend the rest of our lives in humble thanksgiving. Until the day when dawn breaks softly for us in another world where there is no death, but only life, eternal and everlasting. This episode of The Hour of St. Francis, entitled Hope for the World, featured Miss Loretta Young as Mary Magdalene and was brought to you by the Third Order of St. Francis. For a copy of this program or the Peace Prayer of St. Francis, write to The Hour of St. Francis, in care of this station.